Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful.com. It is August 21st. We are here to talk SmackDown in Thunderdome. I am joined, as always, by Jeremy Lambert, but that's not all. We have a secret source on the inside of Retribution that thankfully joined us. I can't confirm it's Alex Pawlowski, even though there are boilerplates that say his name and his Twitter handle. And that he has the same background, but we got the source. You guys wanted more breaking news on this show? We got it for you. We got it for you. It's how true. You doing, source?
I'm here. You know, I was able to get out of the arena. I'm not really sure how I got into the arena, but I was able to get out of the arena the same way.
Wait. You don't know how? You threw a cinder block
two.
And then another cinder block.
That was the PC. We've changed up a lot of our sources.
Oh, okay.
I was able to get in through an open door. Somebody had like put some like tape on the little latch thing as you close the door, and I was just able to walk in through it. So,
guys, leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. It really helps us. We passed 30,000 subscribers this week. Big thank you for that. You can also check out FightfulSelect.com, where our source typically reviews Raw and SmackDown and some pay-per-views as well. However, he's joining us tonight, as he will be on tomorrow's NXT post show with Jeremy Lambert. I'll be doing the Triple H media call, so I'll be back here on Sunday night giving you my SummerSlam thoughts along with John Alba. But I will also have an NXT TakeOver review on FightfulSelect.com. That's the most direct way to support us. Lots of premium podcasts, exclusive news. It's a good time over there. But it's a good time here too, damn it. Send a super chat. We already have a ton. We have a ton right now. Get your question or statement read on the air. Will Hate says, hashtag FTF. That's right. I will be popping in on the Wrestle Talk live stream on Sunday. I've been hacking their stuff all week. Just send a chat that says FTF on it. I want to make them change their slogan. Hannah Moore says, my feed is currently finishing up Jeff's match. She is on the Thunderdome feed, and I want your first thoughts, Jeremy, on Thunderdome.
It's a lot of lasers.
It is a lot of lasers. Know.
It really, like, it doesn't bother me. I get why people don't like it, but it didn't bother me at all. It was just there, and by the third segment, I was like, okay. It's just a different look. I don't think it added anything. I don't think it detracted anything. It's just, it's the Thunderdome. Cool. They did the Fiend's entrance, and after that, it's like, well, can't really go anywhere but down from here.
Yeah, to me, they got to change the backgrounds. They got to get a standard background. That was so weird. When you have a bright background and nondescript faces, then the bright background stands out. That's why NBA has the black background gimmick. And WWE has the thing where you fit your body into a certain frame. That way they can do that. It's just you got people that are like.
And it's frozen half the time as well.
Yes. Yes. Gavin Wilson says, F that F. He definitely didn't say jam that jam. Anakin AMT sends a super chat and says FTF. Evan Wright says, thanks for getting the Retribution member who threw the second cinder block through the PC window on the show. Did Vince give you did Vince give you a demonstration? Hashtag FTF. Did he show you how to do it?
He showed us how to throw the first one. And then I'm not sure. I think it might have been Dave. It was either Dave or Steve. One of those guys threw the second one. It's like he created business for himself. He made us all look bad. We all knew how to throw the first one because Vince showed us. But then it's either Dave or Steve. It's always one of those two guys.
It is. It is always one of those two guys. we have tons of super chats, and we will get to SmackDown. Tim Traver says, that interview Jimmy Van and Sean did was amazing. Happy to support something positive. Thank you to everybody who checked out Grappling with Grief, Jimmy's charity project. I discussed a story about why I cut my hair, the process of getting AEW involved. It is a good watch. Check it out. August 3 says, the only way to make Thunderdome more interesting is if the fans were trapped in the screens like some sci-fi thriller and someone has to save them. Not Alex. Based on the close of tonight's show, I'm not going to rule that out.
it's always possible. I think something they did that I did enjoy a few times was they used those screens where the people would be as like part of the entrances and stuff like that. I think there's ways of like making all the faces in there like fiend faces. That might be cool to do at some point. You could put all of them in there. They're like, you know, John Cena trapped in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, we're going to get to a bunch of the Thunderdome comments right now because that's the hot topic. And to me, it didn't live up to the hype. It was the same thing. It was just video screens. That's it. Throwback 27, our dude says, from what I can tell about the Thunderdome, it's like an epileptic's nightmare with all the lasers. Praying for no seizures here. Hashtag FTF. Hard to disagree with that, especially coming from a guy like him who deals with that. Myron Kidd says, the fans look bored in the Thunderdome. Well, Myron, you know what? They said they were going to recreate the true WWE experience. And there
we are. Frozen half the time. Of course they were bored. They couldn't do anything. It was just a still image.
Evan Wright said, saw screenshots of people asleep, cried laughing. Oh, man. Billy Joyner says, what's up, Sean? Just became a member of Fightful Select 2 days ago. Loving all the content. Boy, we have even more for you. Alex McCarthy and Louis Dangor have a retro review. They started to do this. Louis is like 19 or 20, and he's now reviewing a pay-per-view a month from the month that it happened. So like 20 years ago was SummerSlam 2000, and he does not remember this stuff. He was not coherent for this. So it's.
At SummerSlam 2000, and Louis's like, "Yeah, I was born that month." I was like, "Thanks, jerk."
Wow, I forgot that was there. Mikey T MMA Show, thank you for the super chat. If you have a question or statement, make sure you add some stars to it. Throwback 27 says, "Have a kick-ass show." The Thunderdome is interesting, and on Twitter, caught someone sleeping. Can't wait to see how they do this for Sunday. Hope you guys have a great night. Thank you, Fightful. They got to work out some stuff. I'm surprised they didn't have... Well, one, they should straight up tell people, hey, get some lighting and get a black or dark background or install one. Alex, why do you think they haven't done that?
Because they don't know to do that yet. You know, like, it's they're working this thing out as they go. They don't think that far ahead. That would qualify like as long-term storytelling, long-term booking. We know we're going to have this match 2 months from now, so let's book that way. That's not how they do things. Everything is reacting to something that went wrong. So next time we see the Thunderdome, maybe it'll be different.
Pass it to DJ. Says, got my Dong Lord and Sour Grap shirt today. Posted them on Twitter, and Alex liked it. Was having a horrible day, and that made it a million times better. Thanks for being so amazing, Fightful. Yeah, go to shop.fightful.com. We have a lot of penis-related shirts over there if you're into that kind of thing. And pass it to DJ. Says, make sure you get your lemonade for tomorrow night with Alex on the post-NXT show. I get the feeling it'll be more of a positive experience with Alex, but... You know, so you can find the negative in anything.
Well, no, I mean, listen. The most recent episode of NXT did not sit well with me. So we'll see what the booking has in store for us tomorrow night.
I don't even watch NXT. It's been banned from my program. I have no clue what we're talking about tomorrow. And where's my Point God t-shirt? I want that shirt.
Aaron Entertainment says, maybe send a link to Thunderdome next time if you want people to stay awake. That's true. I know that he didn't get his. Evan Wright says, can we get Alter Ego Alex versus Rey Mysterio? Oh, man. No, I washed Rey Mysterio. Louis Dangor as Rey Mysterio is done. He's done. Speaking of people getting washed, Daniel Marshall says Jericho got rinsed by Briscoe on Twitter.
Oh, that was good. That was really good.
Here's the thing. I don't know if Gerald Briscoe knows that he rinsed him. I think he was being genuine. Chris Jericho was like, only 7 cases in Sturgis? And then Gerald Briscoe goes, yeah, but you're in the high risk category. God. Oh, man. Nabil Shadari says, just curious who posts from the Fightful Twitter during shows. That would be Kyler James. Andrew Lolivar says, lipstick on a pig. That's what Jimmy was saying about the Thunderdome experiment. It's hard to disagree with that.
Yep.
Eloquent says, crowd visual was cool, but didn't feel added to the atmosphere. I think the novelty will wear after a couple of episodes. Piped in crowd noise was weird, too. Jeremy, I think it wore off after the first match.
Yeah, I was... I didn't even notice it. It's by the Jeff Hardy match, I guess, when Hardy won, spoiler alert. I didn't know if they were cheering or booing. It just sounded like white noise, and it didn't add anything for me.
Anakin JMT says, the piped-in crowd noise sounded tinny like it was from SmackDown vs. Raw 2006. Well, I remember playing Here Comes the Pain with my cousin, and I said, wow, this is the most realistic wrestling game I played. And he sarcastically said, oh, they play music all through the matches? And nowadays, I'm like, God, I kind of wish they would.
Better than Michael Cole.
Yeah, let's
hear some Limp Bizkit going on during the matches. That'd be great.
You remember he had the Roland taunt?
Yeah.
Fightful Gaming coming soon. Oh, man. Throwback 27 says, the Thunderdome was like the beginning of Thunderdome was at the start of the... It was like the start of 99 Spring Stampede, all the hope in the world, and at the end of it, it's just bad. There's only one way to go, and that's up. I think I got that comment right. That was a little bit jumbled. Drew Nicholas said... Actually, that was set for the main event, so we'll get back to that one. But we can get to the opening segment after these last couple Super Chats. Roger Acevedo talking about a story that Fightful broke. And he said, Vince showing Gronk how to fall was fantastic. I got to say, when we broke that story a few months ago, Alex, I didn't know that nobody caught him.
No. That backflip was insane. Vince is a madman confirmed. He's like, watch, I'll just do it. And he jumps onto his crash pad. Like, and as he's laying there, he goes like this, up to Gronk.
Yeah.
See, it's not like...
pussy!
He's in a suit. He's got the tie all done like that. He is a certified madman.
Oh, I cackled obnoxiously at Jesse the Buckeye's meme that she did where it has him jumping off the ledge and then it cuts off as soon as he hits. So it just looks like he's trying to get out of somewhere really quick. Away from Gronk, probably.
Yep.
Oh my God. Oh man. Singer Vampire says, good luck with the show tonight. Big shout out to the Warren Hayes Discord server for the fun chat during the show. We appreciate all the super chats and we appreciate Warren as well, but we do not plug stuff that's for advertising slots, which let me tell you, we've got some slots to fill for our advertisers tonight. And August 3 says, that opening segment could have been gold between The Fiend and Vince if it didn't become overproduced trash with Braun and Retribution. So hear me out. I like the opening segment. Let's go ahead.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like the opening segment outside of the 5 million camera cuts during the Retribution beatdown, yes. But otherwise, it was fine. I don't know where it's going, what's going to happen. Maybe they could have done more with Vince. I still argue Retribution should have attacked Vince. Nobody saved him, and Retribution is just all of WWE retributing against Vince McMahon.
Yeah, that's good.
Let me run through the segment real quick.
Go ahead, do.
Vince comes out, does absolutely nothing. He's interrupted by Fiend, who is interrupted by Braun, who are interrupted by Retribution. Probably my highlight of this was Fiend waving goodbye and hitting the bricks. I thought that was kind of smarmy, and if they're doing like cutesy babyface stuff, I thought that was funny. But the locker room empties out to help, and then Braun beats up Gulak. Your thoughts?
I thought the entrance of the Fiend, that was a good one to do, like the first entrance in the Thunderdome.
Yes.
Because of all the bells and whistles with it. Yeah, Vince going out there to be like, hey, everybody, welcome to the Thunderdome interruption. It was like, come on. He just had to be the one who said it the first time. Braun interrupting Bray was, okay, so now what we're going to get. And then Retribution shows up. And my favorite part of that is Corey Graves going, how did Retribution get into the Thunderdome? like it's a different place somewhere else that only you have to like have a cue card to get in. Like, I don't know, man.
To tell me they traveled several miles?
Yeah, that's impossible. And they keep getting bigger. Like,
yes.
the little kids who took over SmackDown 2 weeks ago,
they got
their big brothers to show up tonight.
They had some little fellow waddle towards the camera 3 weeks ago. This is our house! And I'm like, yeah, until your mom gets home, I guess you're in charge.
I thought it showed a lot of initiative by them to attack Braun, the largest man on the roster, who's now also like, you know, murder, death, kill version of Braun.
Yes.
So that shows some gumption, and I got to respect it.
Like, the group known as Retribution is not going to back down from Braun Strowman, so I don't know why you expected anything differently.
Well,
they don't need their baseball bats and stuff.
Right.
Braun doesn't scare them.
No, they demand Retribution.
The group known as Retribution, yes.
Yeah, the group known as Retribution, they demand it.
Hannah Moore points out that The Miz comes out after they fought them all off because he's a coward, so I'm okay with that.
There's layers there, Sean. Layers.
Yeah, he's probably the mastermind behind the whole thing.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I wouldn't know personally because I'm not part of the group. I wouldn't know. I'm not hinting that that's actually the case. In fact, I can neither confirm nor deny.
We have some talking smack super chats. Jamoncito Gomez is talking smack on a Saturday morning. Well, can you blame? They didn't want to counter program one of their own in Retribution, so there you go. And Anakin says talking smack was announced with Kayla and Xavier as hosts, but Cole said it was Kayla and Miz. Any idea what's going on? No, I don't have any clue what's going on. I hope it's Kayla and Xavier because that's a pretty good replacement for Renee and Daniel Bryan. I mean, nothing will live up to them, but Jeremy, I think that's for what they have, that's about as good as it gets.
I assume Michael Cole just misspoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything they can do with Xavier Woods is cool with me because he's fantastic. So get him, utilize him as much and as often as possible.
Anakin says, we can talk shit all we want about how out of touch Vince is. Oh, and I will. But you got to give him credit for that fall. And I did. I thought it was a pretty good fall. And he did not do the one with all the biggest Performance Center recruits catching him, like Gronk, who is going to be taking tackles in the NFL this year, did. Evan Wright says, Thunderdome or Smash Brothers selection screen? It did look like a character select screen.
It did.
It looked a lot like it. And J.K. Schwall says, with the big three here, can we turn this into an NBA playoff podcast in honor of the distraction and the honorable Joe Hulbert? Go Bucks. You mean Lon's Joe Ball? Yeah.
That's mean. Joseph is having a rough night and a rough playoff series. Don't be more mean to him.
He is. Well, I am now a Raptors fan, so I'm having a wonderful time.
No, I'm a Raptors fan now. All we do is win championships.
Bandwagoner.
Yes, I absolutely am. So everybody stays out to the ring while Big E and Sheamus work this next match, and it's a good one. It's a meat slapper. It's a good old, you know, it's fitting that Alex and I are back on the same show, because this was a good sirloin beef sons of bitches match. They beat the shit out of each other. There was, like, that tackle into the stairs, you could see Sheamus' leg marked up. All the suplexes, he had a great bicycle knee, did Sheamus. And it wouldn't be Friday, Alex, without a good old distraction finish. Because that's how I like my baby faces being booked. You know, they turn Big E babyface, and he's barely by the skin of his teeth, or by a distraction. You know, Damian Priest does all these cool moves to Finn Balor, and they turn him babyface. And literally, the perfect description is letting the air out of his tires, which they actually had someone do to him.
A little on the nose, yeah.
As a babyface. Sometimes I just want to watch Big E and Damian Priest destroy people, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Big E's booking, like, versus The Miz, who hasn't had a win in forever. Like, he struggled with The Miz forever a couple weeks ago or last week or whenever that was. Against Sheamus, I understand. Sheamus has also been booked pretty strong, except for that one stupid disqualification finish thing. Yeah. And they keep talking about how he's on the strongest run of his career, yeah. Don't you know? So, obviously, Big E will have problems with Sheamus.
Yes, yes. After Sheamus got piss thrown all over him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I liked the unity in this, Jeremy, where, like, everybody was out there and they were trying to make sure Retribution didn't come back. I was cool with that, because why wouldn't they? And, of course, Corbin is a doofus and messes it up and causes a distraction. So Sheamus should continue to be mad at Corbin. Yes. Sheamus should keep being pissy, right?
Yes, he should keep being pissy. He's been pissy for, like, 2 months now, I think. It wouldn't be Thursday without the distraction, Sean. Get it right. We're not on Fridays. We're on Thursdays. This Big E singles run doing nothing for me. Absolutely nothing. I love Big E. Just him winning matches like this, I can't get behind it. He doesn't feel like a real threat, and not really a fan of it. And I guess, as we talked about last week, the King's Ransom is still a thing. Because Corbin's like, that's how you do it. That's how you collect. They're like, okay. Like, it's still a thing, I guess.
What has to happen in order to collect? Does he have to wind up in the hospital? Does he have to voluntarily quit WWE because he got beat up so bad?
I think it has to be somebody other than Corbin has to attack Matt Riddle. Because Corbin's the only person who's actually laying
him
out.
Already beat him up once. That wasn't enough.
I have no idea. Steal his flip-flops. You got to steal
this
his
is a surprise, but they are not scheduled for SummerSlam, last I heard. But I think they're scheduled for Payback, I think. Sitting on my bed, said I was very disappointed. I got the email to be in Thunderdome, told all my friends, ended up being on standby the whole time. Well, let me tell you, buddy, never tell your friends that you're watching SmackDown. I'll save you one there. Anthony Bennett, the Anthony Bennett, I hope, because I know that the Anthony Bennett has nothing better to do than watch our SmackDown show.
Especially during the NBA playoffs.
Yes, former number one pick. Hashtag FTF, first SmackDown I watch in ages. Fans made no difference, none of them reacting. Will be interesting to see what happens. Yes, they need to pull a Jacob Cohen on Twitter and offer to bring the loudest, rowdiest fans backstage. Jeremy Borash, wake them up, buddy. It was kind of lame, Alex. Like, and here's the thing. I don't sit here in front of my computer like, yeah, unless we're on the air. Definitely not when WWE's on the air.
Yeah. I mean, I hear about these WWE super fans who, like, cheer at their house and everything, and they stand up and they're, like, rabid fans of one particular act and will, like, cheer crazily for whatever that person does. Like, how about you get, like, 3 or 4 people for each act that love that act, and then you put those 4 people up on the screen whenever that act is having a match, and have them go crazy for those people, as opposed to a whole bunch of people who couldn't give a damn about Naomi versus Sasha, but they're only here because they want to see Alexa Bliss, and she's never even on the damn show. You know, like, it's all a weird thing. Like, people aren't fans of WWE, the product. They're fans of either great wrestling, which, let's be honest, you're not going to get here, or one particular person or superstar. It's weird.
Anakin JMT says, condolences to Brian Zane for the loss of his mom today. I did not know that until you told me that. I love Brian Zane. Brian Zane is awesome. He makes great content. One of the great guys that I've had the fortune of knowing in wrestling media. And his mom did a hell of a job raising him, because he's a great dude. And I would imagine that someone like that was a great person and a great mother as well. So definitely send my condolences to Brian Zane. We had SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Cesaro and Nakamura defeated Lucha House Party with somebody pretending to be Kalisto, just way more jacked. He's about to throw Braun in a dumpster. They attack Lucha House Party backstage. There's not much to this match. There was a botch in there, but I like how Cesaro switches up his offense based on who he's facing. Like, He's not going to do a sit-down powerbomb to The Miz, but if he's got Lince Dorado there, he's going to uncork one. And I'm all for that. He gets a clean pin win, and I'm fine with that. Short match, okay, that's fine. I'm okay with those, some short title matches, but Jeremy, I'm happier with the clean win.
It was nice to see a clean finish. Cesaro was so great. That ending sequence, I don't know if they maybe botched like the Destroyer part or just a little clunky, but both guys did a great job of saving that into the finish there. It was a fine match, and yeah, what about you, Alex? What did you think of the match?
Well, I mean, the match is the match. The match is a thing that happened, and we know now who won. The match itself doesn't really matter. What matters is the plans they have. And I guess, like, Lince and Kalisto don't like each other. So they're going to break up Lucha House Party as soon as Kalisto got back? That's weird timing.
Yeah, because Kalisto's out here getting jacked and getting in shape and everything, and he comes back. He's like, you dorks are losing. I ain't hanging out with you anymore.
Lince Dorado's going to be like, wait a minute. If you were well enough to get in, like, superhero shape, why weren't you in the ring helping us when we were having all these matches?
So
the people, you people, made him turn on them.
Anakin JMT says, "Can Kalisto get the getting jacked means he get the gender push, please?" Well, they're cut about the same quality of promos, so I don't see why not. Maybe they put get a push into the Latin American market in Chicago, where he's from.
Personally, I think that the angle where they break up the Lucha House Party will be a good Lucha thing. God damn it, woo!
Yeah. Anakin JMT says Cesaro with another Uno reference to Kalisto in 3-2. You're probably going to be seeing more coverage of that, apparently.
Yes,
it's a thing Jeremy 100%. Wants to do. And
Anakin JMT, my guy, yes. I
appreciate. Let me explain to you all Jeremy here, because he's so good at his job that I'm just like, do whatever you want as long as you're creatively satisfied. So when he says, can I cover Uno? I'm like, well, have I ever told you don't cover something? It's like, I am working on a budget here, so I have to entice these people. I got to hit him with the FTR deal. He might not be making as much.
You did let me cover Eva Marie on Big Brother.
I mean, it happens. I mean, you got the FTR deal. You might not be making as much money as you would in WWE, but I'm letting you do spike pile drivers, goddammit. I'm letting you drive your truck up next to the ring and just do whatever. You get to wear your skinny jeans and your black jacket now. I'm not making you walk around with the same old cowboy shit on. Man. One time, Alex wrote about Kelly connecting with Test from the dead to get a promo for her marriage, which is now over, by the way.
Yeah. So maybe that was it. Test was trolling her from beyond. He knew it was going to happen. So he's like, sure, marry him. That'll be funny.
Nobody can have you
wreck.
If I can't. One of those. Evan Wright says, the fartest Shinsuke Nakamura, #FTF. Okay. Evan Wright says, I want a review of one of these Uno streams, card by card. Jeremy and Anakin collab coming. I'm whatever, man. We're going to be
looking
for content.
We are going to collab and do a retro show at some point, but we might be able to pull off doing like a people's couch watching Uno type deal. We'll figure it out.
We are doing Fightful Gaming, guys. And before you all hit me up like, oh, you got to stream Halo and Modern Warfare. I'm not doing that. We are a wrestling and MMA website. Maybe one day Fightful Gaming will grow and you all can like talk about Animal Crossing and shit. Like, I don't know. But if it's got a wrestling personality tied to it, or if it's wrestling, MMA, boxing, something like that, we'll probably cover it. But stop telling me, like sending me these third person shooters and like all this stuff and being like, oh, cover that. I'm not doing that.
Malcolm Bivens, NBA My Career. That's what I'm doing. All right.
I might allow that. He's going to be 5'3".
Yeah. He's going to be my center.
The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam says, Lince is going to pull a Seth Rollins and break up Lucha House Party. I don't know. I think it'll be down to Kalisto. You got to have something different for Kalisto at this point.
Yeah.
Tyrone Kidd has a question for us. Over or under AEW doing 1 million after getting the rub from the NBA playoff game? Saturday's a death slot, so I don't think they'll do that. I don't think they'll get 1 million.
Yeah, they're going to be up against another NBA playoff game and an NHL playoff game.
And,
so.
And a thing called NXT TakeOver.
Yeah. I think that I don't know about the million, but I think they might get a really good number on that Thursday show they're doing, because Thursday's a good night for TV.
Yes.
And they're not going to be opposite NXT. So
And NXT is going to be running on a Tuesday pretty soon. Let me tell you, if that does well, NXT, I get the feeling, will move to Tuesdays. That's what I feel. Because I know. Jeremy's like, oh.
One of the few nights that I don't have to pay attention to wrestling shows. They're like, put NXT on here.
And Impact, to their credit, sends us their show 12 hours ahead of time because they know. They know, man, they don't want to be here working on a Tuesday night. Kudos to Access TV. Hannah Moore says, I have a wrestling ring on Animal Crossing. Bring it. Damn. Damn, I can finally fight her child on Animal Crossing. Fire and Desire. So they integrated subtly, kind of subtly, of my wife's trash talking me.
She says, should.
You won't do Mortal Kombat on Fightful Gaming because you are afraid.
Now, that's 100% true, actually. True.
My wife, as a shoot, beat me and Jeremy mercilessly and repeatedly at arcade fighting games.
I am training, all right? I got my arcade machine set up, and I am training for this rematch.
Little do anybody know that Jeremy and I were responsible for WrestleCade getting delayed because we just wanted more time to train for my wife at fighting games. I just want to tell you guys, I want to look you in the face and say, going to handle that shit this weekend. That trash talk is not going to continue in this house. But No big surprise here to anybody watching this. Sonya Deville was the attempted victim of a kidnapping. And Mandy Rose was there, too. So, her, too. Mm-hmm. Mandy says it's been a tough week, and she believes there's good in this world. She speaks directly to Sonya and thinks that the Sonya she was friends with is still in there and wants to put all this behind her and get back to being friends. So... Backstage, Sonya is approached by Dana Brooke, who goes, I'm so sorry what you went through. And Sonya smacks her in the fucking face. And I don't know why I found this so funny, but I did.
I don't either.
Because this is WWE writing, complete with the bitch at the end of this whole thing. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Just like all women got to be bipolar, all women got to say bitch. But still, Sonya rocked this shit. She is incredible. She is one of the best promos in the company right now. She says she knew Mandy would second guess her own challenge. So says, you know what? Everybody knows I don't care if I'm bald or not. So we're going to go no DQ. Loser leaves WWE. What a badass promo from Sonya, Jeremy.
She's been working with Pat McAfee, obviously. Sonya was great on this promo. She's been great through the entire Empty Arena era, but this was another promo that she absolutely crushed. And it was good to see. It has, I'm sure, been a tough week for her. So to see her out there and then crush this promo, it was really good.
Alex, your thoughts on this? I thought Mandy's was fine, too. And I thought, all things considered, the pivot that they made, I thought they did pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they spent the entirety of COVID like not bringing it up at all. The real world doesn't exist here. Unless we wanted to make it an angle, remember? Because Jeff Hardy's an alcoholic. Let's do an angle where Sheamus tries to prove he's an alcoholic for, and then gets pissed on him. The real world doesn't exist, except two of our performers were possibly very nearly kidnapped and or murdered. So let's make that an angle. I understand we can't deny it. What they did for them, grading on their curve, was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what I wanted. I will say that that for Sonya to have that happen, to go through the arraignment and all that shit, and to come in and deliver that promo with that kind of fire, like, she is amazing.
And desire.
Well, she's the fire.
As Anakin JMT just said, that Sonya promo was fire and had desire.
Right, but, right. She's the fire, though. Like Mandy's promo was the desire. She desired her friend back.
Yeah.
And Mandy Rhodes says, Sonya Deville says, no, I shall beat you, and then you will be fired. See, that's the fire of the desire.
Well, you know what I desire? I desire WWE sticking to their stipulations, and I'm going to pick up the ball for them. I'm not going to let people leave this weekend without somebody being bald. And that's because all of your balls are going to be bald when you use manscaped.com and that code Fightful. Oh my God. You're going to have your own hair versus hair match. But you don't want to be gigging during that thing. You don't want to be busted wide open. You don't want an unfortunate accident. 2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. But fortunately, your ball sack hair can be well within your control. Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to remind you to do that. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 is a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost through body image. Specifically, those smooth nuts. Their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology are designed to reduce nicks or tugs on your fellas down low. The Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof and it comes with an LED light. Look at that. I'm like the cops on Superbad right now. Like, I'm just waving this at you guys. It's an LED light. If you got to take care of this in the dark discreetly, you can do it. Whatever floats your boat. They just released the Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on to their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. It is a luxury four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tip tweezers, rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and medium grit nail file. Here's a tip, fellas. Just an outside the reed tip. You take care of your nails, women notice. They look down, they see it, and they go, oh, I could envision some things there. I'm just saying. Manscaped gets it done. You get 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code FIGHTFUL. And you get to pluck your eyebrows, trim your nails, shave your pubes. You know what? Maybe you want some crop preserver. This is anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. Nobody wants your dry nuts. Moisturize those. How about the crop reviver? Don't go through a drought here. Revive those crops. You know what I'm saying? You've already watered them, moisturized them with the preserver. You've harvested them. If you start sniffing your own nuts, I'm not going to be judging you. 20% off with the code FIGHTFUL at manscaped.com. Hit them up at Manscaped. Let them know you heard about them through us on Twitter. Say, you know what? I had a giant bush. Even if you didn't lie to them. Just let them know that you heard about the idea of hair versus hair from us.
How discreet are you trying to be with a vibrating object and an LED light?
It's not loud. I had to hold this very close. Like, okay, for example, I brought a second one for comparison. You hear that thing? This is a normal trimmer. Listen to the Manscaped.
Now the other one. It is pretty discreet, actually.
It is very discreet. I'm impressed. It is very discreet. Glad you brought that up, Jeremy. Glad you brought that up. Sasha Banks and Bayley come out and cut a pretty standard heel promo for them. Corey Graves interviews them, and Naomi shows up. She wants to fight everyone. And Corey Graves says, let's do a beat the clock challenge. Loser defends their title first at SummerSlam. And we get two really underwhelming matches. I thought Naomi's offense in the first one was good. Bubba Bomb, springboard arm drag, rolling pin. And some of her head kicks are really, really slow, though. But I'm talking like EA Undisputed 2 with no stamina. But then she does that disaster kick and it rules. Banks taps her out with the bank statement in 339. So then we go to Bayley, and we're going to cover these at once. And I hated this. Bayley attacks her and gets pinned in 1 minute 44 seconds via an ass to the face. Hate her getting pinned in 144. Hate her getting pinned with that terrible finish. Ugh. Jeremy, your thoughts?
I don't like champions losing any type of like non-title match or stuff, tag team matches, whatever it might be. I don't pin your champions so often. I feel like Bayley's been pinned like the last
Bayley's
3 weeks.
Taken so many losses, yeah. Recently.
And we knew Naomi wasn't going to lose both of these, not after the uproar.
I thought she was going to lose both of them.
Oh, yeah. I didn't at all. I called this predictably unpredictable because I knew she was going to win one because of the uproar. And it's like, hey, if you want to push Naomi, that's good. But you didn't push Naomi. She just got 50-50'd here.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't do anything for anybody. The match she lost in less than 4 minutes.
Yes.
The match she won, which doesn't – it makes her look so good, I guess. But it makes Bayley look worse than it makes Naomi look good. Nobody came out of here looking good except for maybe Sasha, I guess, because she beat Naomi quickly.
Eloquent says, Bayley losing to Naomi in 1.5 minutes was dumb. And I can sympathize with her fans that want to see her push, but what a way to build up to the title match.
Yeah.
Oh. Dizzy C says, Bayley has to retain given that she's eaten every pin and protected Sasha for 2 months, unless the story is Bayley turning on Sasha, which would be dumb. So that's happening even though everything before the Asuka feud suggests that Sasha should be the frustrated one. I think Bayley will win and then accidentally cost Sasha the title trying to help her. But Jeremy, anything to add to this segment?
I'm glad Naomi did pick up a victory. I thought they were going to beat her twice. I don't know. And I still think Asuka's winning all the titles in the next two weeks, I guess.
Chris Magruder says Bayley has lost 4 straight non-title matches and 5 of the last 6. That's there the thing. Yep. They're in that position where she is so good that they think they can just beat her all the time. And the thing is, they can a little bit, but I don't buy her as a champion in that event. Like, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. And this was stupid to do. Also, I am so tired of these promos. I'm going to win because nobody is ready for Asuka. I'm going to win because I'm Sasha Banks and I'm the boss. Okay. I remember vividly. I was at a party, like, I think it was like 10 years ago. One of my friends was like, oh, you cover wrestling, right? And I was like, yeah. He goes, man, I started to watch and I tuned in and I saw The Miz on there. Mike The Miz from Real World. He's like, I thought that was ridiculous. Then, when he's talking trash to somebody, he says, because I'm The Miz and I'm awesome. And he's like, what? Because what? What did you just prove? And I was sitting there, and I was so conditioned to it, I was like, I didn't even think about that. Like, that was his punctuation. That's the punctuation there. Because? And then the catchphrase. Shitty.
At least he wasn't calling people the fartest back then.
Fair. Throwback 27 says, the screen on the Thunderdome would be perfect for G4 TV when it gets back. Xavier being on Talking Smack is great, but it would be awesome if he hosted Up, Up, Down, Down at the Thunderdome. Mortal Kombat at the Dome. Yes, please. That actually sounds like an awesome idea, Jeremy. Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. They talked about, I guess it may have been the Uno stream yesterday. Like, they want to do it in like a big arena with like fans watching and stuff. So maybe they can bring that to the Thunderdome. They should put that on television instead of this show.
Somebody made a very good point to me on Twitter today, and I apologize for not remembering the name. If there's any situation that would have been a perfect, like, height of his powers type thing for the hacker, it would have been in the Thunderdome. Like, if the hacker still existed In on SmackDown, if they hadn't just written that off and had completely gotten rid of that angle, him, like, now with all of these things everywhere, he can control all the lights and all the boards and everything. It would have been nice, but no, that doesn't exist. Forget about it. We never actually did that. That doesn't exist.
Some of my favorite Up, Up, Down, Down stuff was when they were in the stadium playing on the jumbo. Yeah. That was so awesome. And I actually rediscovered that, because I was adding your comprehensive history of AJ Styles being terrible at video games article. I was updating that, and I was like, man, those were so good. So I checked those out again, and those were pretty good. Colt Badeau says, I liked after the match with Bayley only taking her titles and almost leaving Sasha behind. They got to plant those seeds.
They're planting a lot of them. There's a lot being planted.
ALR1129 says, going to trim FTF on my boys with Manscaped. Goddamn right you are. Intercontinental Championship. Oh boy, do I have some thoughts here. Jeff Hardy is being checked on in the trainer's room. We later see that AJ attacked Jeff's knee. And I'd love if we get one match if they weren't like, hey, do you guys remember that Jeff was a fucking addict? Because that's what it is. Jeff gets his leg worked over. He fights back, and he wins after he avoids a Styles clash, hits Styles with a knee brace, and wins with a Swanton bomb. He then gets treated like he's at the Oscars and gets...
wrap it up, Pete!
Oh, they hit him with the wrap it up button. So, one, first off, if Jeff's the champion, why didn't they just put it on Matt Riddle a couple weeks ago? That's so weird, because here's the thing. You know they're not going to do anything with Jeff Hardy in this title. I'm not breaking any news here. Alex, what'd you think about all this, and then Styles going off on Joseph Park backstage?
The whole angle where Jeff got attacked by somebody, and then later we find out it was AJ with a camera pointed right at him, yes, and the trainer being a horrible trainer, like, oh, geez, your knee looks messed up. Can you put a brace on it? I guess 50 minutes later, there's a brace on it. Come on, trainer. You got to get better at your job. But the whole thing is, of course, they had to do the angle where Jeff gets attacked and gets his knee messed up. Because, of course, he has to be even more of the underdog. It's not enough for him to fight from underneath. He has to super fight from underneath. Like, I hate that so much. Good for him for winning the title, but it's not like they're going to do anything with Jeff Hardy holding that title. I hope he loses it at Payback. I don't know to who, but I hope he loses it at Payback.
Hopefully to Joseph Park. I would actually love that.
That would be great.
Jeremy?
He can't lose it at Payback. Look, this is the Jeff Hardy redemption arc, okay? You guys are just, you're not a fan of just great stories and great people rising above all of the noise and the bullying and the addiction and people trying to hold them down and attacking them. You guys, I don't know why you dislike this. Y'all are some haters on this. They are going out. Jeff Hardy is an inspiration. An inspiration to the entire world. When all this stuff is going on, you got the COVID and everything else going on right now. What would Jeff Hardy do? He would look at it, he would paint his face, and he would say, "You do not stop me. Whatever is in my life right now, I rise above
you." Wrap
it
up. I'm about to play you off in honor of Jeff Hardy. Evan Wright says, "Alcoholic versus pothead IC title feud incoming. If we can only be so lucky. Hopefully somebody gets piss thrown on them." Anakin JMT says, "Jeff winning with a bad knee makes me think they learned nothing from the crap fest Becky had with the bad knee coming out of the Rumble. Wasn't nearly as bad as this even. It's just everybody knew Becky was going to win. Everybody knew. Oh, we did not know what was going to happen at the end of this show." And let me tell you, we've gotten through this pretty quickly. Nikki Cross is backstage saying that that this Alexa is not the one that she knows. Cool. Glad.
Whatever. Whatever.
August 3 says, "I wish I had a gong for Jeremy Lambert after that speech."
Haters, rise above, everybody.
Get your super chats in as we are in the last segment. So Firefly Funhouse has, I love the concept, but it's become nonsensical and drawn out a year into it. Like, nothing of note is ever said on this show. And that's the same method with old Bray Wyatt promos, Aleister Black, Paul Heyman for a while. Like, I love the concept. I love the delivery. It's tough to keep fresh. But Braun shows up and attacks Bray, and he's not finished with Bray. It is hilarious to me that WWE is like, you know, Braun's floundering as a babyface, so we're going to turn him heel. And what are we going to do? We're going to do all the things that made people like him. Complete with ambulance, Alex. Now, Alex, you and I were there on the night that wrestling was revived one.
Yes.
When Braun Strowman launched Roman Reigns off that goddamn loading dock.
Yep.
It was amazing. It was the best thing I've ever covered.
Yep.
This was not that.
No.
He chokeslammed Bray. And as you pointed out on Twitter, you could see his leg from where he landed.
He like, gunk. Like, you can see it just gunk. 2 feet off of the thing, you have all the money in the world for, like, Laser Floyd, like, the best Laser Floyd show ever, but you don't have any money to hire an editor to, like, crop out that one little part of his boot.
Oh.
My God.
And Bray gets stretchered and ambulanced off. You got Sanjay, Jamie Noble, Adam Pearce. If anything, this was good to let us know what producers have not been furloughed.
Yeah.
And Adam Pearce is like, he's great. He's great. He's like, "Why aren't you going? Why aren't you going? Why are you coming back?" And it's all Adam Pearce facial reactions.
Yeah.
And the Fiend is there. And Alex, can you give us a recreation of the final shot, please?
Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It was the goofiest shit.
Did Adam Pearce not know that Bray Wyatt is the Fiend? Because, like, when the doors opened and it wasn't Bray Wyatt, it was the Fiend, I was he that shocked by a costume change? Because it really looked like he had no idea.
Yes.
My God, the Fiend is there. What happened to Bray Wyatt? What's going on? Like, Adam, it's okay. We all figured this out. Two things that I loved. A, the callback to "I'm not finished with you." That should be Braun's catchphrase. Whoever he's fighting, she should beat him up once and then yell, "I'm not finished with you," at them, and then beat them up some more. That should be his thing. I love that. I also loved, and I feel like this is Bray trying to correct things that they've done wrong in the past. When Seth Rollins showed up out of nowhere into the Firefly Funhouse just because, it was like, what, that thing's backstage? Why is that there? You ruined all the mystique. But when Brace, like, stops, sniffs the air and says, "What took you so long?" You realize that it was Bray who had to invite Braun in.
Yes.
To the Firefly Funhouse. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to come, which makes it all so great. And then immediately after that, they ruined it by having a backstage brawl. So it wasn't like he invited Braun into another plane of existence where the Firefly Funhouse resides. He invited him to this room back at the Amway Center where they've set up some puppets, which isn't nearly as good.
It's a parallel universe. There was a door somewhere that Braun just entered. The parallel universe travels with WWE. I get it.
So we have a lot of super chats about this. Evan Wright says that chokeslam spot to Bray was really bad. Yes, it was the old... It was Rikishi Undertaker, which was bad and not nearly as good.
Yep.
Colt Badeau says, I'm not finished with you. Yep. Listen, guys, you all can pay $125 for a two-minute meet and greet, or you can pay me, like, I'll take $20. Take $20, I'll do your voicemail. Sensei Tiswald says, I wish they would explain how Seth and Braun got into the Firefly Funhouse. Well, Alex, as you eloquently pointed out, he had to have invited him.
Yeah, I liked that was different this time than before, but actually Bray stopping, realizing there was a presence there that was not there before, and whispering almost, what took you so long, is so great, because it's all part of the plan. Don't you understand? Like, the Fiend is making Braun into this thing because I believe Bray is trying to tell us that he thinks the Fiend can control the monster.
Yes.
If he strips away all of Braun's humanity, he can harness it and make Braun into his, like, his giant, like, evil, non-speaking, just destructive diesel. You know? His heavy is Braun Strowman, who he can control with his mind powers. I think that's all bullshit, but Bray is trying very hard to make me believe it's real.
How much Phil Jackson peyote do you think Bray Wyatt does to come up with this stuff?
I mean, here's the thing. I respect that he's trying to come up with something. Because yes, nobody else there is coming up with anything.
Jeremy, what did you think about this segment? We still haven't even got your thoughts. Since we effectively timed you out. 300 seconds.
Anything Bray Wyatt does is amazing. I love this dude. He should have the pencil.
Moving on to super chats. Matt J. Hendricks says, I'm convinced Alexa was driving the ambulance. That is Joe Holbert's dream angle, I believe. Like, come on. We're getting a good 1,000 words out of Joe Holbert if that's the case. Yeah. Anakin says, producers yelling, what are you doing for 2 minutes in an ambulance? Not my idea of entertaining TV, but what do I know? No, here's the thing. I was very entertained by it. Yeah. I'm not gonna say it was good, but it was entertaining. Epic enlightened rant debut is greater than epic triggered rant. I disagree. Epic triggered rants do numbers for us every single time. Anakin JMT says, Sean, if I give you $20, can you cut a promo on my ex? No, but if you use the code FIGHTFUL at manscaped.com, you'll get 20% off, and your dick will do the talking for itself, my friend, and you'll have those smooth nuts. That's the only promo you need. Drew Nicholas says, Firefly Funhouse is backstage, but also a parallel universe. Nothing about this gimmick is special anymore. WWE really hashtag FTF'd, F that Fiend. I don't have a problem with it being backstage. Where the hell else is it going to be? Like, we think he's floating around in the galaxy somewhere?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The idea should be that wherever the hell the Firefly Funhouse match took place, that's where the Firefly Funhouse is. Like, that didn't take place on this plane of existence. Fair. That was John Cena, like, going into Bray Wyatt's mind. That's the way they should have played this thing from the beginning. I've said that since last fall. They've ventured into weird places where it doesn't make any sense anymore because they're never consistent. For sometimes it is in this weird other plane of existence. Sometimes it's not. They need to pick one and at least be consistent with it.
You know, I'll accept that argument. And Jeremy's just, yes!
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 What do you want from this company? Okay? It should be on an alternate dimension somewhere.
Guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Every week I do a Q&A show. I got a backstage report show with 20-plus minutes of exclusives. Alex has at least 2 episodes of Sour Graps per week. Steven Jensen does The Weekender. You now have there are 2 retro reviews this month. Myself and Throwback reviewing, I think it was WrestleMania 14. And then we got SummerSlam 2000. We got dozens of those shows in the archives. Plus, I'm breaking news every damn day. I've had stuff up all this week, a wrestler that was meant for a big push before the COVID era, some of the producers that were getting put over by NXT talent to me. I've broke a lot of stuff on the WWE wrestlers that supposedly were contacting AEW. Everybody, not so much. Thunderdome testing, we've had a lot of news on that. Go check it out. It's the most direct way to support us. Dizzy C says, I'm tired of Braun. His acting is terrible. He's been broken down since late 2018 and looks like he's 2 years away from moving like Taker. He's just boring. People complained about The Shield, Brock, and even Corbin, but I'd take them all over Braun. I would not take Corbin over Braun.
No.
Shield business.
Shield and Brock, sure. Come on. As for how he's moving, yeah, but he needs to tear stuff up and have short matches. If they can bring back Goldberg for how he was protected 20 years ago, they can just do the same with Braun, Jeremy.
I agree. I don't. They're not going to. He's been bad as a champion. It's not fully his fault, but nothing about this run has been inspiring.
Well, it was never supposed to be him at all. Like, Roman was supposed to be in this spot.
Yeah,
Roman
yeah, we'll still do to... something. Like, that's no excuse not to do something with it.
Well, absolutely. But I'm saying, like, they had no plans when they put the belt on him to begin with. They were like, well, it can't be Goldberg, and it's not going to be Roman. Braun, come back from Wisconsin on no hour's notice.
Will Should've Ware kept that on Goldberg. Don't at me.
Will Ware said, Sean, what do you mean where's the Firefly Funhouse going to be? It's in an alternate dimension. Do you even watch WWE? Hashtag FTF. Please shave Adam bald. Adam can shave himself bald with manscaped.com and that code Fightful. Throwback 27 says, moment of silence for the city of Boston because of COVID has us in the shitter. Wish this weekend could have happened. This was going to be a wicked pisser, but nope. Now Bayley versus Sasha. Saving it for SummerSlam 5. Can't wait.
2025.
I love it. I love it. Justin Lopez says, Sonya needs time to heal, so I agree with the loser leaves WWE stipulation. Hopefully the situation hasn't turned her off so much that she doesn't actually return. She was killing it the last few months. I think Sonya will be good at anything she tries to do. Right. She is awesome. Avery Dunn wraps up our super chats by saying, ha, 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 with eye and tongue emojis and says, first, Thunderdome was disappointing. Shame because this is the first main roster show in a while I've been excited about. Jimmy Van was right. Lipstick on a pig, man. I was excited for it. I was hyped for it. My wife wanted to watch it with me. She came in. She looked at it. And she said, eh.
This is the thing about it. And I hope most people aren't fooled by the laser light shows and the fireworks and the pyro and the screens with faces on them. And this was never about production. That was never the real problem with what's going on with WWE. The problem is creative or the lack thereof.
There's some problems with production.
There's some problems with productions, but it's not. I mean, I'll watch crazy camera cuts in a broom closet with one swinging light bulb. If the storylines are great and the matches are great. Like but neither of those things are great right now because the matches don't have good storylines within them. So,
if I miss your super chats, guys, just send them with stars next to it because I realize that I have missed a couple. Someone said that you got to break Matt Riddle's ankle in order to collect the bounty. I mean, if you're getting specific with it like that, that's the thing. Corbin should add qualifiers to it each time. Oh no, that's not good enough. You got to do this. You got to break at least three toes to collect on this bounty, and that's how he gets his match. That's how he gets his match. Jeremy, tell the people what you're up to this week.
I have no idea. TEW series tomorrow. We're booking some stuff. I'm hosting the Takeover post show with Alex. We'll hopefully just talk about basketball.
Yeah, probably mostly basketball.
No, my team sucks, so I don't want to talk about basketball.
Not mine.
Distraction every Thursday. Send Joe nice messages, and yeah, I'm always on the website, so check it out.
Yeah, we bust balls, but Joe is great. Dante V says Retribution has entered the chat, and now they wear yellow. Hashtag FTF. That is green.
The group known as Retribution.
It's a greenish yellow. I mean, we're trying out some different color schemes because the all black is really it's slimming for some people, but not great for others.
Tell the people where they can find you.
You can follow me.
Besides at the Amway Center.
Right. at Alex Sour Graps on the Twitter. Also, I do the Sour Grap Show twice a week. Don't have one tomorrow, because I would be talking about this one, but instead tomorrow I'll be talking about NXT, which is turning into Wednesday Night Raw as we speak.
Oh,
I just want to give it a quick out shout out to the sponsor of Sour Graps, which is Lemonade. Lemonade, it gives me that sour power. Lemonade, I love it.
I drink that 15-calorie Minute Maid fruit punch jam. Mm. That's my stuff, man. That's my stuff now.
That and your Monster energy drinks. I'm sure those go well together.
I don't know if Zach sent an actual super chat, but he said, Sonya was good, but now the match is meaningless. No loser ever leaves WWE. I think you're being too pessimistic because, yeah. Until next time, guys, I will be here tomorrow night with a Triple H media call. Jeremy and Alex are here tomorrow night to review NXT. Aren't a lot of matches, so make sure you send in those super chats, get your questions or statement read. I am here Sunday with John Alba reviewing SummerSlam in the Thunderdome.
Thunderdome!
Tarped off the Thunderdome.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.